Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard throughout the tri-state area. Listen on the radio at KNTRTalk.com and the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When legendary drummer Keith Moon was MIA, who did the Who turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
When the great Pele asked for a sub, who did his World Cup team turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Now this world-renowned musician slash athlete has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only,
I mean, could you imagine a twin?
Paul Lavoie.
If I had $1 million,
if I had $1 million,
well, I'd buy you a fur coat, but not a real fur coat, that's cruel. And if I had $1 million,
if I had $1 million,
well, I'd buy you an exotic pet,
yep.
Like a llama or an emu.
Not sure if... Are you singing on the phone, Brian?
I am.
That's right. I don't think I'd get you an emu, but, you know, maybe that El Jefe, the jaguar that was spotted in Mexico, if I could get him captured for $1 million, I'd give that to you.
I would appreciate that.
There you
go. I'm sure that it would love the Lake Havasu City weather.
Oh, absolutely.
Maybe monsoon season.
If they did, then Keepers of the Wild would be here, right? All right, welcome to the show, everybody. It's Sound Advice, if you haven't guessed, with Brian Springberg. And Brian is in a remote location on this Thursday, August 11th, 2022. You know, I'm starting to dislike this date, Brian. I can't find anybody who's worth anything that I've ever heard of in music that has a birthday. So we had to go to tomorrow, right?
You can cross off August 11th as the interesting date in music history, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I didn't check the history. I checked more or less birthdays. So anyway, on with the show, as they say. And the big announcement is we will have the Cardinals game tomorrow night. The Arizona Cardinals starting the preseason against the Cincinnati Bengals. They're in Cincinnati, and we'll start that at 4:30 over on 94.3, 100.5, and 980 AM. And the full schedule for the week, which includes all the Diamondbacks games, is at KNTRSports.com. And that's about all I have for right now anyway. And Brian, what's happening where you are? And I'm going to guess, I'm not going to guess the location, but I'm going to guess it's about, 78 degrees right now?
That's a pretty good guess.
Nice.
Yeah, so not Mojave County.
Right. Not even Arizona.
Unless I was in my living room, I suppose.
Ah, absolutely. What's happening in the business world right now?
Obviously tons. But what is encouraging, at least for the moment, is how much the U.S. market has rebounded since the beginning, basically, of last month. If you go back a month, the S&P 500 is up about 11.25%, essentially halving the decline that had taken place prior to that for 2022. And so if you had panicked and moved your assets out of the market a month ago, you know, depending upon what you're invested in, if it was U.S. market-based, you would have missed out on having your year-to-date losses so far. Now, that in no way means that this isn't just what we call a bear market bounce or rebound, and that it is also possible that we could see the market drop again in the near future. It's not saying that those things aren't possible. But it is saying that for the moment, the market is encouraged by what's happening in the economy to the point to where it has rebounded significantly. And so you say, well, what are those things? Well, the big move in the market just the other day was caused by the fact that we saw inflation stabilize. And so the thinking was, had we or had we not peaked in the rise of cost, and was it going to start coming back down again? And the fact that inflation, in fact, did kind of even out and even backtrack in many different sectors was a very encouraging sign for the stock market. And the reason is, not only economically can that be a good thing, but it also maybe gives some hope that the Fed's going to ease back on how much and how quickly they continue to raise interest rates. The price of gas nationally now has dropped to like $3.99 or whatever, so, you know, call it $4 a gallon. And while we're not happy to be paying, you know, a buck more a gallon than we were or so, certainly it's nice to be paying a buck or buck and a quarter less than we recently were. Interest rates for mortgages dropped quite a bit as well. But they are up a little bit more today, from what I can tell, up to about 5.25 or so for a 30-year mortgage on average. Again, historically, well below the 7 to 7.5% average for a 30-year mortgage for the last 50 years or so. So higher than we were, but still, historically speaking, well below the average interest rate. And you actually saw a wave of refinancing start taking place a little bit again, in some places across the country. You may have heard that argument of, listen, if you find a house you like, and if the price happens to be right, you can always refinance potentially in the future. The problem is that that's not typically the case right now, that even though housing prices are dropping, and in some places more than others, mm-hmm. they still are elevated for some people to be able to afford them. The real crunch, the real crisis remains rents. Rent continues to be high nationally, and not abating near as much, as maybe we're seeing prices and housing decline. And so for those who still can't afford to purchase, having to deal with a limited amount of rentals and therefore a higher price per month on those rentals is definitely eating into their monthly financial budget. But on the whole, things have to be encouraging, obviously, for the market to have been doing what it's been doing, like I said, over the last month. We also saw a tremendous jobs report came out, where way more hires than expected recently occurred. And so another, you know, so I know there's this debate about recession, not recession. And, you know, the answer is this. Technical definition of recession is two quarters of negative growth. And that occurred. And so by any technical definition, you can say that occurred. But this is dramatically different than literally almost every recession this country has ever had, in that it's got an unbelievably low unemployment rate, 3.5%. I mean, it went down. And so the jobs market is unbelievably strong. Wage growth is unbelievably strong. Retail sales is unbelievably strong. In other words, you can just look around you and not, you know, you can't help but notice the economy is still very, very robust. So it's a very strange time, right? And so the way I look at it is, as I mentioned, I think on the last show, was, listen, if real estate price is correct and your home goes down, you know, 20 or 25% in value, well, the fact that for many people it went up 50% in the last 2 or 3 years, all you're doing is coming back down to reality. If the stock market has averaged 15-18% up until, you know, for the last 3 or 4 years up until this year, and we end up down, like right now, year to date, the S&P is down like 11.3% or so, okay, then it brings it back down to the average of, you know, 10 to 12% maybe. And if the economy has been booming and exploding on every level, and it comes back down to reality, well, then it's kind of forming this new base. And so, you know, to try to simplify it is not easy, because it's pretty much unheard of for us to be saying, hey, the economy's like running on full cylinders and everything's still doing unbelievably well, but we actually went backwards in GDP for two quarters. So it's a very strange time. And if you read, you know, independent economists and, you know, more technical journals, that's really the discussion of just how strange of a time it is right now. But to my first opening point of the hour, mm-hmm. you know, when we talk about being in the market and not being in the market and being overly sensitive to timing the darn thing, if we're long-term investors, this is a perfect example of it can cost you to try to jump in and out of the dang thing too quickly, because remember, I always use this phrasing, downturns are temporary. The only way it's not temporary is if the entire global developed economy collapses completely. If that doesn't happen, well, then it's temporary. And so if we look at, let's go back the last 30 years. Through July 31st of this year. So basically, just through a couple of weeks ago or so, so including the downturn we just went through, including the downturn from the pandemic in the beginning of 2020, including the second worst market in history in 08, 09, including the third worst market, including 01, 02. I mean, we can keep going on all these rough times. The stock market has averaged 10% per year. But guess what? If you remove the best 22 days over that three-decade period of time, your average rate of return drops from 10% to 5%. So to give it another twist, if you were not in the market for 22 of 7,554 trading days over the last 30 years, it's possible if you're out on those big ups, your return actually got cut completely in half.
Yeah,
that's an amazing statistic to me.
That really is. It really. Hey, let's get back to gas prices for a second. I don't think you know.
Sure.
I don't think you know this. I was in Bullhead City, Fort Mojave area last week, and I saw prices down around $3.97 a gallon.
Mm-hmm.
National average, like you said, is around $3.99. And I just Googled the current average in the Kingman Lake Havasu City markets, and it's $4.48. Quite a fluctuation there. Do you know why that happens?
No, and we've talked about that on the show before, and I don't think we ever figured it out. Did we, Paul? Like, you know, we were like, is it just easier? You know, we could only come up with, is it easier on their routes? In other words, in terms of cheaper transportation costs?
Yeah.
Is it just what the market will bear? In other words, Lake Havasu has a wealthier demographic than Kingman and Bullhead per capita.
Mm-hmm.
Does that play into it at all? In other words, supply and demand? I don't think we ever figured out the answer to that.
I think it's a supplier issue, because Bullhead City, Laughlin, they get their gas from Clark County or even Utah. I don't think we get our gas from that far north. So I think it's a wholesale price issue. I don't know. I wish somebody would call in that works in that industry or works for a station and knows, you know, sees the guy coming in that drops off the gas, and they pay for it actually, and they know, you know, why it's so expensive, so much more expensive here. So, I mean, that's easily 50 cents a gallon right there. So.
Yeah. What's the skinny on that? I don't know the answer to that. You know, and so again, you know, you look at all the variables. It's like, well, and everybody always wants to make things a political issue. Well, just as people are saying, you can't explain easily the big jump in gas prices. Mm-hmm. Well, okay. How do you explain that it's come down again? Now, it's not down where it was, but it's just interesting because it's like, well, did anybody do anything that different to cause it to go up on a political basis? And has anybody done anything that different to cause it to come back down 50% of how much it went up from a political perspective? I don't know that anything was done in either direction to help or hurt. It's market forces, you know, obviously that shape these things. And so, you know, I always say, be careful who you can't necessarily give too much credit or too much blame, because you find yourself suddenly on the other side of the point you were trying to make, you know, in a hurry. But let me give you another example of just like how crazy things have been with how supply chains and demand and wealth drove the global economy. So the cost of a 40-foot shipping container from China to the West Coast was $2,500 in June of 2020.
Okay.
It went to $20,000 for shipping cost by September of 21. And then June of this year, it's down to $9,500. So if you wonder, gosh, what was happened with, why is there inflation? And again, you're trying to make it a political point. Well, okay, explain to me the relevancy of that compared to market forces and pandemic forces, unfortunately, of how a shipping container shipping cost went from 2,500 to 20 grand to 9,500. Still well north of what it was back then. I can tell you the cost of the shipping container in June of 2020, low, maybe that's what it was. Maybe it was because demand went way down because of the pandemic. But then supply chains and wealth took it way the other direction.
Right.
I mean, that's just crazy. And now it's down to less than half of where it went to. So it really is a very bizarre, you know, time relative to trying to figure out, you know, the economy. But again, you've got to, relative to your money and your investments, take a different perspective than just trying to read and overreact, you know, to, you know, who you dislike most politically and tying that somehow what you should be doing with your money, because it will backfire, or at least that's what the last 150 years say, more than it'll work to your advantage. So let's go ahead and head to our first break of the hour, Paul. We come back, so much more to talk about. And if you got any questions or comments, please feel free to call in on Sound Advice here on Speak Out.
Sounds like a plan. We're going to go out with this birthday boy's, it's not a number one song. I thought this was a number one song. Sultans of Swing, Mark Knopfler, Dire Straits.
Oh, yeah.
Mark Knopfler is 73 years old tomorrow. Hard to believe, isn't it? He had that.
I'm older too.
He had the 1985 U.S. number one single, Money for Nothing, the 86 U.K. number two, Walk of Life, and the worldwide number one album, Brothers in Arms by Dire Straits. He's recorded and performed with many prominent musicians, including Chet Atkins, Eric Clapton, Bob Dylan, Brian Ferry, Emmylou Harris, Van Morrison, Steely Dan, Sting, and James Taylor. There you go. Happy birthday to Mark Knopfler tomorrow, 73 years old. All right, Brian, we'll be right back on Sound Advice with Brian Springberg. I'm Paul LaVoie. Stay with us.
Check out Guitar George. He knows all the chords. Big wheel keep on turning. Neon burning. Up above. And I'm just high on the world. Come on and take a low ride with me, girl. On the tunnel of love. Yeah, love.
No, it's not the Springsteen version, Brian.
No, it's not.
Good guess, though. I told Brian this is my favorite Dire Straits song. It's called Tunnel of Love, and he's like, isn't that by Springsteen? Anyway, just because Brian's on the phone from a remote location doesn't mean you cannot call in. We do have another line for our listeners, 854-KNZR-928-854-5687. And Speak Out, brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage, also Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, Horizon Community Bank, GDK LLC, Patio Paradise, and of course, Springburg Wealth Management. And don't forget, we stream live, and our show archives are also located at kntrtalk.com. And our archives are also on the Lake Havasu City app, free to download at the Google Play and Apple iStore. So there you have it, Brian. I was gonna mention, too, that the oil is traded just like any other commodity, and it's speculative, right? Correct? We do have a phone call, by the way. But I was saying,
of course it can be speculative. Yeah, any commodity is typically going to be considered more speculative, and some more than others, of course.
Right. All right, let's take a phone call. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Yeah, I just wondering, with the kids today starting out paying Social Security, how much spending power are they going to have 40 years from now?
How much buying power?
Yeah, spending power, buying power, yeah.
Yeah, great question.
How much money are they going to have to spend 40 years now out of that dollar that they put in today?
Caller, do you want to listen here or listen on your radio? Are you there? All right, go ahead, Brian.
There's your answer.
Yeah.
And this is why I, of course, preach so much about you cannot just rely on Social Security. You know, the argument of it's going to be there, it's not going to be there, it's going to be there. The problem is, one, it's not enough to make ends meet for most people and have the quality of life they'd like in retirement. Two, the likelihood that you're going to continue to have to wait longer to get full benefit as life expectancies go longer and there's less people working. And that fundamentally is one of the biggest issues facing the entire developed world, is that birth rates were already kind of declining, and in the pandemic they went way down in the developed world, like 12 to 20%. And it is the birth rate that dictates the workers that fund the Social Security for those people who are enjoying it. And the longer they live, obviously the more money that is going to be needed. And so it is a huge, huge issue. You know, 96% of Social Security benefits are funded by payroll taxes, 4% funded by income taxes paid on Social Security benefits. And so, you know, you've got to look at it, is it's just not going to be enough to make ends meet, regardless of what's happening.
Right.
The good news is, for those of you on Social Security right now, is this huge bump in inflation that we're having this year is going to portend probably pretty great for next year. So the annual increase applied to Social Security benefits starting January 1st of next year is based on the CPI, the Consumer Price Index, over the 12 months ending 9/30/22. Well, now that we see inflation dropping again, more than likely it'll continue to drop towards the back half of the year, and if it stops fiscal year ending September 30th, 2022, inflation over the 9 months of 21 was at 8.7%. So the Social Security cost of living adjustment has been at least 10% just twice in history, and in 1980 and 81. That was 14.3 and 11.2 when inflation was out of control. So next year, it could be a really nice, you know, without it being a negative connotation, perfect storm for those of you on Social Security, in that if inflation, let's just call it 9%, through September 30th hits, and then inflation drops to 5 or 6% next year, you're going to get a big bump in your Social Security benefits at the same time that you see the inflation and cost of living decline. And that would be a boon for people. So people who are suffering in 2022 could find a significant swing to their benefit for 2023, because the forces that cause the cost of living to go up this year are going to be the same forces that cause Social Security Administration to raise the benefit. And if the actual cost for gas, for food, for utilities, for essentials drops, that's going to be a boon and a huge benefit to a whole lot of people.
So Brian, let's say that cost of living adjustment for next year is going to be 8.5%, just hypothetical number, okay?
Sure.
Which is probably a reality. So you add that,
yeah,
you add that to the, what was it last year, 5.9 or 5.3? That's over 13% in 2 years. What I'm getting at is...
Oh, you just meant the increase in benefits.
What I'm getting at is the system is paying out that much more. Doesn't that make it even more likely or probable to fail? For those
But you're right. It puts way more stress on that system, and therefore will put more pressure for adjustments to be made in when and how much Social Security benefits are paid out for future generations. Lord willing, it's not going to happen and something will change. But again, I don't see how, one of two things has to happen, right? Taxes have to go up,
mm-hmm,
to compensate for the Social Security drain on our system, or you're going to have to reduce benefits, or you're going to have to increase the age that people receive those benefits. There is no other magic wand how Social Security stays intact. And so somebody is going to have to flip that bill. So you're going to be, and it's going to be totally tried to be muddied and confused politically. But understand, those are the options. It really is going to be, hey, would you and maybe your children like to get less benefits so that we can right the Social Security ship here in America? Or, hey, would you rather increase taxes on corporations or, quote, the wealthy, whatever that means? Or would you rather, have to wait longer to get the benefits? Pick your poison. But those are the options, and it's coming. And of course, politically, they kick that can down the road, every 2 or 4 years. And because they're thinking, not going to be their problem politically, right? They'll be out of office by then. Make no mistake, for the health of the country. And again, this is what I keep beating my drum on with everybody, is most of the things that we get caught up talking about as a country, cultural politics, most of that is just easy political fodder for the right and the left to fire you up to get you to vote their way. The actual issues that will dictate the success or failure of the United States of America, economically, financially, are these big picture things we talk about that you literally don't hear anything about from anything other than kind of third-party candidates or distant candidates, mm-hmm, who are trying to run on substance, which gets you nowhere most of the time in this country. And so that question that the gentleman was asking is just unbelievably relevant to the very big picture and longevity of how our country is going to function or not function, financially. And in the meantime, it's why I preach, take care of yourself.
Right.
Fund your IRA. Fund your 401k. Pay off debt. Don't pay interest on credit cards month to month. Do things that are financially stable and conservative and cautious to take care of yourself, rather than stress about, am I going to be able to live off of Social Security? That's that argument. the problem that we all have, I certainly have with it, is, yeah, okay, but what about all the dang money that's taken out of my check to go to Social Security? Do I just say, okay, that's for everybody else, but maybe not for me? That's a pretty hard, bitter pill to swallow. But, I don't know. We have to address that change. So great, great question. So let's go ahead and Paul, if it makes sense, go to the next break, go to the hour here. And when we come back, we got so much more to talk about. And if other people have questions or comments they'd like to make, please feel free to call in here on Sound Advice on Speak Out, and I'll address them as best I can.
All right, let's do that. We have another listener, Brian, who says Charlie Sexton was born on this date in 1968, which makes him 4 years younger than me. Makes him about your age, doesn't it?
So, yeah, just 1 year older. So, God, Charlie Sexton, great. That's a pull.
Singer-songwriter, played guitar for Bob Dylan. And
Great call.
Got to give him a shout-out. Right. I saw that name on the list, too, but I like Dire Straits better. So,
well, you're in control. You're the wizard behind the curtain, so what you say goes, I guess.
Kind of, right? All right, back with more in a moment. Sound Advice with Brian Springberg, featured artist of the day, Mark Knopfler. Tomorrow's his birthday, 73 years old. And he was with, of course, Dire Straits, the founding member. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out.
So far away. So far, I just can't see. So far away from me. You're so
The views expressed on Speak Out are not necessarily the opinion of KNTR Talk 106.3 FM and should not be construed directly or indirectly as an offer to buy or sell any securities that would be mentioned therein. Investing is subject to risk involving loss of principal invested. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. No strategy can assure a profit nor protect against loss. Please note that individual situations may vary, therefore the information should be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Securities and investment advisory services offered through SagePoint Financial, member of FINRA, SIPC. SagePoint Financial is separately owned, and other entities or marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of SagePoint Financial.
Hey, it's Romeo. You nearly give me a heart attack. He's underneath the window, just singing, Eli, my boyfriend's back. You shouldn't come around here singing up at people like that. Anyway, what you gonna do about it?
All right, welcome back to Speak Out. It's Sound Advice with Brian Springberg, and Speak Out brought to you in part by Horizon Community Bank, Mojave Community College, also SunPower by Esme Electric, the Lewis team, Remax by the Lake with team leader Bobby Lewis and Julie Lewis, and our newest sponsor, Les Olson IT, your company's one source for office technology. And they're online at lesolson.com, that's OLSON.com/Kingman. And should also mention that you can talk to Brian via phone, even though he's on the phone. Give us a call, 928-854-5687. 928-854-KNTR. Brian.
So, if you're wondering really where markets have priced in how much more the Federal Reserve is going to increase interest rates, it's about another 1.5% from right now. So, right now, you know, the Feds have raised their rate 2.25 to 2.5, and the markets have basically priced in about 3.75. So if the Federal Reserve, let's say, raises interest rates a half a percentage three more times, that is already priced into the market. If the Fed raises interest rates less than that, then the market will, of course, receive that news quite favorably. If inflation rebounds and gets worse or won't go down and is stubborn, then you perhaps might see that increase by the Feds go to a higher percentage, and then the markets will not react favorably to that. So, again, to kind of spin, like, well, why are markets reacting so favorably relative to flattening or declining inflation numbers in a lot of areas? That's why. They've already priced in so much. And so if it looks like the Fed's not going to increase interest rates, well, then stock prices adjust and increase because they don't think that the negative economic effect is going to be so bad. In fact, there was even another inflationary reading that was positive. It's kind of a, you know, behind the scenes, if you will, thing, but it's easily explainable and relevant. And that's basically, there's a producer production index, like, you know, how much does it cost to make stuff, you know, index.
Right.
And the expectation was that that was going to increase 0.2%, basically, for manufacturers, et cetera, here in the U.S., but it declined by 0.5. And so that combined with the 8.5% reading was also kind of behind the scenes, you know, putting positive spin on what's happening, you know, with the market in your portfolio. The other thing is to recognize how the markets react to tax bills, spending bills, that kind of thing. So we just saw the $700 billion or whatever bill that was passed by Congress, and in there was, you know, all kinds of funding and some tax changes, again, as usual, some of which I think make great sense, some of which I don't. But how did the market react? Meaning, how did corporate America, how investors see, the people who invest billions, right? How did they take the news of that bill? Is it going to be catastrophic economically, as being painted by some? Is it going to be the world's greatest thing, as painted by others? And what you saw was that it really didn't have an impact. In other words, it was just kind of digested, if you will. And so to me, that's good news. In other words, if the net effect is neutrality, then for now, then that to me is a positive sign as to how it's being read. Because obviously, again, politically, people are going to love or hate or be mixed, like me, on different aspects of it. But when the rubber meets the road, who's really going to be able to interpret that to what it means to our economy? Well, it's going to be the people who, like I said, are managing hundreds of billions of dollars. And that was not taken in a hugely negative fashion. And nor, of course, did it cause the market to, you know, go up precipitously. So, I took that as a good sign personally, is, you know, neutrality, relative to that. And if you think that through, that makes some sense, right? Like, if there was genuine excitement, you'd have seen that the market really go crazy. And if there was genuine concern, you would have seen the opposite occur. And so I kind of put that into your thinking relative to, is this a good or bad thing for the economy? And not just take, you know, political punditry as the truth on what really is occurring as a result of that bill moving through. You know, in the scheme of things. And that's really one of the great exercises I know that I do, to kind of get a read on things. But I've read through it, and, like I said, from my perspective, there's things in there that I think are good for America, and there are things in there that call into some question, that remain to be seen. But do yourself a favor. Don't get your information from the television.
Good point.
You're not going to probably get just the facts. Like, here's what it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're just not. And do yourself a favor, because you might be surprised that if you looked at it objectively, there's going to be some things in there that you probably like. And if you're just so excited about it, then you might be surprised. There might be some things in there that you're like, huh, I don't know that that's necessarily a positive thing. And then go ahead and listen to arguments on both sides. But you just can't take it through a punditry filter to really have an understanding of this bill. Because if you did, if it really was that negative, again, you'd have heard about it from different sources and different avenues in that way.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, Brian. There was a study done some years ago. Who is the best informed as far as news people go? You know, I call them news people, people that follow the news, right? People that read, dig into the internet as far as looking up legislation and that sort of thing were the most informed, then the radio listener, then the television viewer. I always thought that was funny, but TV was last on the list as far as informing people of what they needed to know.
Somehow you worked out a sweet plug for KNTR.
Well, no, I mean, we're in the middle there somewhere, but at least, at least it's not, you know, the spin of some of these, TV networks on both sides, like you say, it's just horrendous.
Yeah, it is. And so I mean, I did take the time and I've read a number of articles on, you know, on it. And like I said, it's interesting when you take the time to do that, and really get an understanding of who's going to be affected. You know, the big, you know, subjects out there are, you know, the hiring of the, 87,000 IRS agents or whatever that is.
Right.
And in the scheme of things, that's probably close to the least important as far as what will affect the vast majority of people. But of course, that gets all of the hairs on the back of our necks anytime we think more power, the IRS, you know, because who wants more Big Brother breathing down our necks, and et cetera. But again, take the time to read, well, what does that actually mean? You know, and who are those hires?
Yeah, well,
because as you go through that, it's not like I like it. But it's not quite as horrible as you might think, meaning, well, a certain number, you know, I get we all hate taxes, right?
Yeah.
But if taxes are the law and the government's job is to collect them, you know, countries fail around the world because their governments operate not on accurate or robust tax collecting, but just more on a black market payola type of a basis, right? I mean, Greece literally was failing as a country, and I remember the reports coming out that they collected something like 30% or 40% of the taxes that actually were paid, and they didn't even bother trying because their government was so corrupt, they just all got paid off. I guess we're some kind of a blend of that in some way.
Right.
I don't know.
And we don't know how many.
You gotta be careful about that, right? Like,
if you just
say, hey, we don't want anybody enforcing tax code, you know, then suddenly we fail to function as a government. And so it's a gray area for me because I hate the idea of more government and the tax man collecting. But I also hate the idea of the government faltering because it's not collecting the taxes that legally people are supposed to pay.
Right. I hate the idea of missing a break.
Of what?
I hate the idea of missing a break and going right into the news. We're going to blow a break if we're not careful, Brian.
Perfect segue, yeah. So I don't know. I just know it's a hot button topic for everybody. And it's just one part of this bill. But take your time and read it because you're going to find that out of those 87,000 workers, there's money for admin, money for IT workers. They're replacing, like, I don't know, 15,000-20,000 workers that haven't been rehired, and were way behind on getting refunds out and way behind on collections, and it's not allowing the government to function efficiently. And you know, and if people are committing fraud and I'm not, well, I want them busted, man.
Right.
Because I'm sure as heck paying a ton in taxes, and if they're getting away with it, not because they're finding ways to get away with it legally, but because they're cheating and lying, and I'm not, well, guess what? I got a problem with that, because I pay my fair share, I feel like, and then some. So that's kind of where I come from on the other side of that coin.
Well, if you want, I can just let you go right now, because we're not going to have a lot of time at the end.
Wow, that's really harsh for me to put it that way. But
I'm
I think you've got to let me go, Paul.
Yeah, I would go enjoy that weather where you're at.
Hey, everybody, have a wonderful week. Wish you well. Try to stay cool in that crazy hot humid climate. Any questions, always feel free to call in. Like I said, I'll always answer them as best I can.
Right on. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you, Paul.
We won't talk to you for a couple of weeks, correct?
Correct.
All right. We'll see you in September.
Sounds good, my friend.
Thank you, Brian. All right. Another week of Sound Advice with Brian Springberg. I'll be back in a moment. Stay with us. I'm Paul LaVoie. Welcome back to Speak Out. I want to remind everyone about the 90s Neon Skate Party this Saturday night, Sarah Park Rotary Rink. Free entry, all ages, music by DJ Freeman. Starts at 8 o'clock and runs till 11 p.m. More information at havasuskates.com. Again, that's at the Sarah Park Rotary Rink. And again, that's this Saturday night. All right, on tomorrow's show, we'll have District 5 County Supervisor and Supervisor's Chair Ron Gould. And coming up next, of course, it's Sean Hannity, Karate Man, after news and a short break. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is KNTR Talk, AJJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM and 106.3, the voice of the free.